manufacturing, say, 5 years or less? Have any of those? Okay, got a few of those. All right, well, good. All right, so how to begin a pastorate. George W. Bush was inaugurated as the 43rd President of the United States on Saturday, January 20th, 2001. And 8 months into his presidency, the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil happened September 11th, 2001. Now, obviously, that set off the war on terror, which would essentially be one of the key defining things of his presidency through his two terms. Almost exactly 4 years later, on August 26th and 29th of 2005, Hurricane Katrina made landfall in Florida and then in Louisiana and Mississippi. 1,836 people died, making that the deadliest hurricane since 1928. Cars, houses, buildings were destroyed. Ocean water reached up to 12 miles inland in various places. Total property damage was estimated at $125 billion in 2005. 80% of New Orleans was underwater, and much of that lasted for several weeks. So every president enters into a job where he does not know what will happen during his term. He don't know what tragedies or disasters that he's going to face. He knows that he's likely going to face some. I'm just assuming that George W. Bush had no idea that those terrorist attacks were going to take place 8 months after he was inaugurated as the 43rd president. Now, if you cannot already make a connection between what I'm saying and pastoring, then you probably have not yet pastored. Every man that goes into the pastoring of a church is in a similar situation. You don't know what tragedies, what disasters, what things that you're going to face. And that could be in the lives of your church members, or it could be some major tragedy or disaster, a school shooting or something that happens in your community. You don't know what kind of things that you are going to face. So, point number one, expect the unexpected. You just have to expect the unexpected and expect not to be prepared for it. It is certainly important that we have preparation and training as much as possible with other pastors and what have you, that we go into the pastorate, but there's just no way to really fully prepare someone for everything that they're going to face. We just don't know what those are going to be. There was a pastor, and I know very well, had a woman at church that wanted to talk to him because she had some problems with her husband. So the pastor and his wife, you know, they met with the woman, and she told him that the problem that she had with her husband was that he ran around naked all the time, inside the house and outside the house. And she wanted to know what to do about it. Well, what do you say to that? Fortunately for you guys, you come back this afternoon and Jack Holbrook is going to tell you exactly how to handle just such a situation, because he's got biblical counsel. So we'll save that for later. You just come back this afternoon.
Stop it.
True story. Anyway. All right. So this session is practical advice on how to begin a pastorate. And essentially, I want to talk about navigating the process of talking with the church and working through whether you're going to accept a call to a pastorate of a church and those sort of things. And maybe a few practical thoughts if we have time for beginning the pastorate there. All right, so as a young preacher who hasn't yet pastored, you're probably preaching infrequently. You know, you might be teaching Sunday school class. You may be doing pulpit supply for other pastors in the area. You might be preaching, some sort of a special meeting or what have you. And I remember what it's like. And you're just itching to get into your first church. I mean, the Lord's given you a burden to preach and to pastor. I mean, I get it. I understand it. I mean, you're just itching to get into your first church. And you're just not don't feel like you're doing everything that you could be doing. So first things first, be patient. Be patient. And be thoughtful. And be prayerful as you consider pastoring a church. So when it comes to talking with a church, there's no one way churches go about calling pastors. All right, so there's no way that I can prepare you for what all to expect, because you can expect just about anything when it comes to calling a pastor. I did one time receive a letter and was notified that I had been extended a call to pastor a church. I had never even talked to that church about pastoring that church, but I received a letter in the mail that I had been voted upon unanimously to be the pastor of that church. Well, you can expect just about anything to happen when it comes to this. This is something that, on the one hand, churches haven't really been trained very well how to go about looking for a pastor. And then on the other hand, a lot of times young preachers have not been trained very well or at all about how to be looking for a church and how to go through that process. So that's what I'm trying to talk about here. But remember this, that you, as the preacher and the potential pastor, you are considering this church just as much as they're considering you. It's a two-way street in this decision. So in other words, don't just leave it up to whatever the church wants or decides or whatever they think happens. I mean, obviously, they're gonna have something that they're gonna want to do. A pretty common scenario is, well, we'll have a guy in and preach. He preaches a decent sermon. All right, we'll bring him up for a vote. That happens more than you might realize. But don't just leave it up to them for whatever happens. And I recommend that before you have a face-to-face meeting with this church, a good way to get into discussion is using questionnaires. It's a good way. You can send it to them. They can fill it out, send it back to you. You can have some discussion before you ever meet face-to-face or before you ever go and preach in view of a call or anything like that. So questionnaires can be very helpful, and they should lead to more discussion and a thoughtful process. And they can also help save some time and energy, you know, because sometimes through the process of a questionnaire, the church may figure out that there's something about you that they do not want, or you may figure out there's something about this church that you do not want. You save everybody a lot of time and frustration and everything by getting into these discussions and working through them, so that when you meet face to face, you're not sitting there asking, like, what do you believe about the Trinity? Those are things that can be settled, better. There's other things that you really need to talk about. So one way to be prepared for this, you see that bottom point there, as a young preacher, write out a brief personal statement of faith, what you believe. Now, this doesn't have to be, John Gill's Body of Divinity. Just a brief statement on major points of doctrine. And it'll be, if you've never done it, it will be a good exercise for you to work through what you think about some of these things and try to set that down. So if you prepare that beforehand, when it comes time to talk with the church, then you have something you can send and say, here's a statement of faith. You can receive their statement of faith. And there's a lot of things that can just be gotten out of the way by going through that process. Now, the church may very well send you a questionnaire to fill out. And again, you can expect just about anything. I've seen several of these types of questionnaires come from churches, and they can be downright funny sometimes. But when you fill out a questionnaire for a church, all right, you want to be open. You want to be honest in your answers. Don't try to make yourself, I don't think you're going to do that. Let me put it another way. Don't try to think of what they want to hear. Right. You need to be open and honest about where you are. And don't be afraid if they ask a question on there that you just don't know the answer to, just put that. I don't really know the answer to this question. Or you may have to, if you don't know what they mean, well, just say that. You know, I don't really understand what you're asking here, you know. So just put that. So you want to fill out their questionnaire. You want to be open and honest. And you want to be concise. You just keep it simple and brief. And if there's some issue that needs to be talked out, then you can do that when you sit down face to face. But also, if you get a questionnaire from a church, that also is going to tell you something about that church. So look at it and consider what they're asking. And maybe even consider what they're not asking. In other words, a questionnaire that comes from a church can tell you some things about them. What are their priorities? What's their focus? What are they asking about? What are they not asking about that they really should be? All those kind of things will be helpful to you and can also help to guide you in knowing questions that you want to put to the church, that you want to find out from them. All right, so you write your statement, and I recommend preparing a questionnaire for a church. In other words, you prepare a questionnaire to send to the church for them to fill out. All right, so why do you want to do this? Well, and in just a moment, I'm going to kind of walk through a sample questionnaire, and you can, you know, use these notes to help guide you in putting something together. But why do you want to do this? Why would you want to send a questionnaire to a church? Well, first of all, what you want to do is get an accurate assessment as much as possible of where this church is and how they operate. And I don't mean geographically, obviously. I'm just saying, where are they doctrinally? Where are they practically? What is the what's the life and culture of this church like? You want to be able to get some feel for that. I mean, unless it just happens to be a church you already know extremely well for whatever reason. But a lot of times that's probably not going to be the case. I mean, you might be acquainted with them. But you want to know this. You want to know as much as you can about how the church thinks and how they operate. And also, it's going to tell you something if the church is not able to even get together to go through a questionnaire and fill it out. That's just going to tell you a little bit of something about that church one way or another. So what kind of things are you looking for? I mean, when you send them a questionnaire, you're wanting to know, is this a church that's generally unified? Or is this a church that is split in different ways? So if they send you back a questionnaire that they fill out, and it's color-coded with these, well, part of us think this way in blue, and part of us think this way in red, and part of us think this way in purple or something. Well, that's a pretty good indication that they don't seem to have a lot of unity and a lot of compatibility there amongst themselves. So another thing that you want to know with a questionnaire is you want to get an idea of compatibility between you and the church. Will you be a good fit for this church? Especially given your particular strengths and weaknesses and personality and leadership style. All right, so if you've ever gone to a job interview, you know, and they like to ask you the sort of questions, you know, well, you know, what are your weaknesses? And, you know how you answer those questions, you know. I just care about my work too much. I just work too hard. I just really, that's a weakness. I've got to improve on that. All right. Well, as pastors, I hope that you have pastors that are working with you and others that are close to you and are able to speak to you, able to speak to your life. You need to have a good idea of what your strengths and weaknesses are. And there's no one man that's just omnicompetent in every area. We have our strengths and weaknesses. We do. All right. So, and you need to just be aware of those. And so it's the same way with a church. A church is going to have a personality. A church is going to have strengths and weaknesses. And sometimes these are things that can grow and what have you. But you need to try to get a good idea. Am I going to be a good fit for this church? Am I going to be able to minister and to lead? And am I going to be able to be effective here? Am I going to be that, or is this a place that probably is going to be better suited for someone else to come and pastor them? And those are kind of things that you need to figure out. And another thing that you're looking for through this process of interviewing with the church, you want to try to figure out as much as possible, what is this church looking for and expecting from a pastor? All right? So if they're looking for their former beloved deceased pastor, you will never be him. All right, you just need to know that going in. If that's what they're looking for as a pastor, you will never be him. All right, but you want to know, what are they looking for? What are they expecting? You know, some people don't want a pastor that's too old. Some don't want a pastor that's too young. Some don't want a pastor that has a beard. Some probably don't want a pastor that's bald. Well, you know, what kind of things are they looking for? You can expect, again, just about anything there. All right, so if you send a questionnaire to a church, in order for this to be helpful for the reasons I've stated, what you need to have happen, and you probably will just have to tell them this and ask them to do this, you want the whole church to get together and to go through this questionnaire and have open discussion about it and fill it out. In other words, you don't want to take a questionnaire and hand it to a deacon and him go over in a corner and just fill it out with what he thinks. No, you need to know what this church thinks. Right? So that's the purpose of doing a questionnaire like this. First of all, can they even work together in order to be able to fill out a questionnaire? That's a pretty important piece of information. All right, so you're wanting to know what they think. So you want to, I would recommend requesting the church to meet together, go through it, discuss the questions, and have one person to be, and that might be a deacon, it may be somebody there, I don't know, but have one person to record the answers and put it together to return to you. All right, so you don't want to have them hand out 50 copies and everybody fill it out. You want them to discuss all this together openly and fill this out in return. So again, what you're after is an accurate picture of where the church is presently. And there really are not necessarily right or wrong answers to a lot of these questions that we're going to go through here in a few minutes. There's not really... not necessarily right or wrong. You're just wanting to an honest reflection of where they are. So you want to review their answers, and you want to make any, you know, just make note of any follow-up or clarifying questions that you want to ask. And this, again, this, if you have an exchange like this and you've exchanged doctrinal statements and all that sort of thing, then you're going to be well prepared to go in and sit down in a face-to-face meeting. And you can have a list of things that you need to ask and put to the church when you're speaking to them. And they're probably going to have some things they want to ask of you. But you're going to be much better prepared to have a more productive meeting if you do it that way. All right, so through this process, at some point, one, you, or the church, or maybe both of you, may see no need to go forward. And you know what? That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. That's all right. And you get to some point and say, you know what? I don't think we're a good fit. Fine. That's perfectly fine. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. And you know, go on. All right. So let's get to the sample questionnaire. So what I've done in your notes, these are just primary subjects, right? So areas that you're going to want to ask about in a questionnaire. Okay, so first of all, church documents. So you're going to want to ask for a copy of whatever church documents that they have. That would be Articles of Faith, Statement of Faith, Constitution, Bylaws, Covenant, whatever sort of documents that this church has. You're going to want to request a copy of those so that you can go through them. And you want to learn about their doctrine and practice. What does this church believe? All right? How does this church practice? If the church doesn't have these documents, or if what they send you is vague or very brief, then you're obviously going to need to ask more questions to find out the sort of things that would be in those documents if they had them. But this is something, again, that you can do beforehand. Again, it's probably not extremely productive to, you know, sit down and, you know, do you believe in the Trinity? Do you believe in this and that? And you can sort those things out beforehand. And then when you have a face-to-face meeting, then you have a much better idea of things that need to be discussed. All right, so church documents is the first area. And again, you may want to, you know, whatever sort of questions you may want to ask in there. Secondly, church officers and staff. All right, you want to know every position that the church has. Who holds those positions? Particularly, you're going to want to know if they have assistant pastors, if they have, you know, deacons, whatever. And you're also going to want to know what are the responsibilities for deacons at the church. All right, now this is where you need clarity, because what you're not asking that church is, what do you believe the Bible teaches about deacons? That's not what you're asking this church. What you're asking this church is, do you currently have deacons? And if so, what are their current responsibilities at the church? All right, see, those are two different questions.
Yeah.
So you're not asking them about what they believe about, you know, the Bible teaching about deacons. So that's what this questionnaire is designed to do. You're wanting to get an accurate picture of this church and how that it operates. So you need to know what paid positions there are. Anyone that's getting paid, whether that's cleaning or whatever that it might be, whatever those paid positions are, what those responsibilities are, what the expectations are of those people. You also need to know about things like handling the finances and such, and we'll talk about that a little later. So church officers and staff, anybody that has a position at the church, and whether that's a paid position in some way or not, and what those responsibilities are. You're going to want to know all that. Next, the church membership. There's a number of things you're going to want to know here. You want to know how many members the church has. If the church does not know how many members they have, you need to know that. All right? And I'm not telling you in this questionnaire, I'm not telling you that anything here, it may or may not be a reason to go to that church. I'm not telling you it is or it's not. You're going to have to figure that out. I'm just trying to help you figure that out. All right? But if a church doesn't know how many members they have, you need to know that going in. What is the process for receiving members? How does this, again, not what do you think the Bible says, but how does this church currently receive members? What is that process? You want, and you're, so you're obviously going to ask about things receiving by baptism, if it's a transfer membership, what have you, all those sort of things. You're just going to want to know what the process is. You also need to know, and these questions can be a little thorny sometimes, but you're also going to need to know how faithful the members are. How faithful are the members of this church, to attending services. How faithful are they in giving tithes and offerings? Now, you're not asking for a list. I want everybody's name and how much they gave last year. That's not what you're asking for. You're just asking, generally speaking, are the members of the church faithful attending the services? Are they faithful in giving tithes and offerings to the church? Are they faithful in contributing to the work of the church? In other words, are they serving? Are they active? Are they willing? Am I going to be pushing a rock up a hill if I'm trying to get, you know, somebody to do something? You want to know those kind of things about the membership. You want to know if the members generally follow pastoral leadership. Do they generally follow pastoral leadership? You need to know if the church maintains members who are not in the area. You need to know that. That can be a, if you've never encountered that, that can be a nice little surprise that you get. I once had a woman call me, caller ID said Nevada. I'm talking, and after a while asking questions some of the questions she was asking, I'm kind of wondering, you know, what's this all about? Later come to find out, well, she was a member of the church I was pastoring. Okay, you need to know that. Are there members? Does this church maintain members that are not in the area? You need to know the church's position on attendance and how that problems in this area are addressed. What's the expectation? What's the practice? You're going to want to know about the process of discipline within the membership, what that looks like. You need to know if the church has any special needs members, obviously, such as elderly, shut-ins, maybe some that are in nursing homes and what have you. You're going to want to know the state of the membership. All right, number four, church life and services and such. What are the regular services like? You're going to want just a description. What typically happens when the church meets together? You're going to want to know what instruments are used in the service and what instruments are forbidden from being used in the service. What type of songs are sung? Are any particular songs forbidden from being sung in the service? What's most important in determining whether or not a song will be sung in the service? All right, you're going to want to know these kind of things. How do you arrive at this decision? Do you have special singing or congregational singing only? If you have special singing, who may sing specials? Some of this may seem a little silly, but I'm going to tell you, there's some strange stuff out there. And there's some churches that have some strange ideas about some things. And you need to know that beforehand when you're going in. Because if you lay your hand on the remembrance table, and they call it that because nobody can remember the last time that it was moved, and you lay your hand on that and you move that table, you might have somebody go into cardiac arrest. So you need to be prepared. What is the role of women in the church and in the services? What is the church's view of youth in the services? What is the church's view of ministry to the youth and of evangelism of youth? What's the church's view of various activities involving the youth or even involving the whole church? Does the church have Sunday school classes? How are those done? Who are the teachers? Do they have any sort of special study groups? You know, anything like that. All these things in the life of the church that you're going to want to know. What materials are used in any of those groups? Now, here's another question. Not considering core theology, all right? So I'm not asking here about the Trinity. Are there any things about the church or about the services that are considered untouchable or off limits? All right, you want to know that. And again, I'm not talking about theology. I'm not talking about the deity of Christ. But is there anything considered off limits? You know, this can't be done or won't be done And what are those things? How does the church view fellowshipping with other churches? And what does the church consider to be tests of that fellowship? Does the church have a dress code or policy? And how are these things decided? All right, again, you're just wanting accurate, honest answers from the church of where they are on these things. You need to know these things beforehand. Next is the church calendar. So in a typical year in the life of the church, what does that look like? What events does the church have? Is there any sort of annual events or what have you, regular events that take place? You want to know about those. You want to know about what special services does the church have, that sort of thing. You also want to know about their business meetings. All right, so how often do they have business meetings? Who is the moderator? Typically, the pastor is expected to be the moderator of the business meetings, but you want to know how these things operate. Well, what do these meetings look like? You know, how do they run? Listen, nobody likes church business meetings. All right, I don't think any. I mean, I guess if you do, church business meetings are great for you. Would you please raise your hand? All right, we have one. No, we've got two. All right, so we'll see if we can dig you two out a prize or something. Church business meetings are just—they're necessary. There's something that has to be done. Just do your best to try to make those as painless as possible would be my recommendation. But you want to know what the church does. How do they conduct business? Number six, church missions. You're going to want to know what missionaries or ministries that the church supports financially. You're going to want to know who all they are. You're going to also want to know what sort of outreach is this church doing locally. So sending money to support missionaries, and that could be foreign or domestic or what have you. What about their outreach, their evangelism in their communities? What sort of things are they doing there? How often does the church have visitors in the service? What are their views regarding ministry online and things of that nature? And again, I'm not saying you're looking for necessarily any particular answer in all these things. You're just wanting to know what the church thinks about them. All right. Next, church expectations. You need to know what the church expects of a pastor. Their expectations may be biblical, and they may not. But you need to know what those expectations are. And this would include anything and everything that they expect a pastor will do. All right? That might be changing the toilet paper in the stalls, that may be scrubbing the floors, anything that they're going to expect a pastor to do, you want to know that. What is their expectations regarding visitation and counseling and preaching? You want to know what they're looking for in a pastor. What does this church value most in a pastor? Like, what would be that key thing that they're most looking for? And also, how would the church assess if a pastor was doing well? Some other questions in this category. What sort of things would the church like to see change or perhaps develop with a new pastor? You're going to want to know that. How would the church describe its own health in terms of things like prayer and love for one another, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism? How does this church assess their own health in these spiritual terms? You also, I think, want to ask them, what areas does the church feel like they most need to grow in? And you will also want to know, what are the expectations for a pastor's wife? And there can be some funny ones, but you're going to want to know what they are. Next category, church finances. You're going to want to know what is the current state of the church financially. For instance, are there any outstanding debts? Are they millions of dollars in debt? Thousands of dollars? No debt? Where are they at? Typically, do they have a monthly surplus or a deficit? You're also going to want to know about the salary that they're offering for a pastor and how that's going to be paid. All right, guys, I get it. That's an awkward question to ask, but you need to know. And honestly, in a questionnaire like this is probably one of the easiest ways to do it. You're asking about the church finances, and you do need to know. All right, so what is the salary the church is offering? How is that going to be paid? If they have a parsonage, then you will need to know their expectations regarding the parsonage. Also, what is the church's view concerning time off for the pastor? If the church thinks that a pastor just works 3 hours a week anyway, they're probably not going to have a real healthy view of time off for a pastor. But a lot of churches really are not that way. But you are going to want to know what are their views of it. Does the church have a book allowance solely for the use of the pastor to acquire resources for his library or his study? And you young preachers, not yet pastored, I would encourage you to include this question on a questionnaire to a church. I really think that churches ought to have, and I mean, maybe a church is in a situation financially they just cannot do it, but a church ought to have an allowance to that pastor so that he's able to get some resources to help him study. Most young guys starting off in a pastorate don't have very many resources, nor the ability to get them. And if a church does that, they're investing in their own future as well and supporting their pastor. Don't make your young pastor try to decide between buying books and buying food for his family, because I'm thinking they ate yesterday. You know, they ate yesterday. We can get some books. No, church does not want to put their pastor in that position. Give him an allowance that is specifically for buying books, resources to help him in his study, in his preaching of the word, and in his pastoring of the church. Extremely important. So I would encourage you, include that in there and at least open up that conversation. If that's not something that they're doing, would they be willing to do it? All right. Number 9, the one you've all been waiting for. Church problems. Church problems. You do need to know if there are any current problems within the church membership. Are there any outstanding, unresolved problems within that church? Or are there any such type problems between perhaps them and other churches? You're going to want to know that going in. Also, I think you want to know what is the most vexing question or problem for the church currently. In other words, what do they feel like is their biggest problem or their most vexing situation? All right, you need to know again what you're stepping into as much as possible. And I know that you have to be somewhat careful in this sort of thing because, obviously you don't want to become a busybody. But at the same time, if you're considering going to pastor a church, you really do need to know these kind of things. And sometimes something may come up, and it is a good opportunity for you to be able to help them and say, you know, this situation really needs to be handled before you call a pastor. You know, you shouldn't let this go. You need to get this situation resolved and maybe even help them understand how they ought to work through that process. And if you don't end up going there as pastor, if you do that, then you've helped them. You know, you've helped them to be able to resolve the problem. Church property. All right, you're going to want to know about the property. Are there any current building projects at the property? Is there anything that's either going on or anything that's planned to start soon? You will also want to know the sort of things like, how is the church property maintained? How does repairs to the building happen, for instance? What's the process for that? Or to the grounds, or the grounds care as far as cutting the grass? What about clearing the snow from the parking lot and that sort of thing? You know, all of those issues. You're just going to want to know how that is handled. And number 11, the previous pastor. Sometimes churches are mainly interested in finding the not previous pastor. So if you're not him, then they're ready for you to come in. All right? But you're going to want to know. And again, you have to exercise some wisdom here and some concern, because you're not wanting gossip. You're not trying to just, give me all the juicy details. But you do need to know about the previous pastor. What happened with him? What was the situation of his leaving? Whatever that happened. Again, not just being nosy, but relevant things to pastoring this church. That's what you're going to want to find out about. Did he leave a mess behind?
Yes.
You're going to want to know that. And as much about it as you can, as you are thinking and praying through, is this the place the Lord would have me to go? Because you're going to have to obviously deal with that. So you need to know those sort of things. Last of all, this category, just personal area. And just some personal questions. If it's a place you're not familiar with, you may want to just ask also, what's the area like? What's the community like? Where do the members live in relation to the church building? You know, is the church here and everybody's driving an hour from all different directions? You're going to want to know that. All right. So where do the church members live? Is this considered a family friendly area? Is this a high crime area? You know, all those sort of things. You also may want to ask, what are the particular problems in an area? All right. So, I mean, every area has its own particular problems. Some areas are prone to flooding. Some areas are more prone to tornadoes, whatever. If you're in Kentucky, the problem is you're in Kentucky. So, you know. I just made sure you were awake. Access to stores, access to health care, doctors, what have you. I mean, just things like that. Just think through things about your normal life, especially if you have a young family. So you have wife and children, and I mean, think about sort of things, you know, that is she going to have to be driving an hour, you know, to go to the grocery store, what have you. Just those sort of things you're going to want to think through. All right, so that's that. Let's go to some final thoughts about beginning a pastorate, and then maybe we'll take some questions and things. All right, so again, going through this process, there's not necessarily right and wrong answers for a church to give. You're just wanting that honest and accurate assessment of where they are. You are going to have to decide what sort of things are deal breakers for you. I can't tell you what those are. You're going to have to decide that. But I will also say this. Don't expect a perfect church, either doctrinally or practically. If that's your expectation, you probably need to go join the safety seminar that's taking place somewhere else for construction work or something, because that's not pastoring. So don't be expecting there to be a perfect church. But also at the same time, don't immediately write off a problem church.
Right.
They need help.
Yes.
They need ministering. They need pastoral care and leadership. And they need teaching from the Word of God. So don't just immediately write off a church because maybe they've got this or that problem.
Right.
But you're going to have to work through those things. What is it that the Lord has, how has He gifted me? What are you know, my burdens, my strengths, my weaknesses? Is this a church that I can help, that I can minister and be a blessing to? So you're going to have to work through all those kind of things yourself and figure that out. But there is no perfect church. All right, so secondly, be realistic. All right, the size and situation of a church will affect what that church does and doesn't do. I mean, just even from a financial standpoint, you know, the resources that they have, that's going to dictate what can be done and what can't be done. You know, maybe you've got this grand idea for this wonderful ministry that you want to launch, but the church just simply has no money or resources for it. Well, you just got to be realistic as you are looking at a church, realizing that their situation. It may be a church of mainly older members. You know, they might be like Tom Ross's age, and you know, barely getting around. But I'm saying the size of a church, all of its situation, all these, they're just going to affect what this church can do and not do. You may well go into a declining church with mostly older members. As young preachers, we generally expect that our ministries are going to approximately parallel the ministry of Charles Spurgeon. Well, as some say these days, good luck with that. You may be called to labor in a small and unknown place and never become big and known. That may very well be where you're called.
Right.
You may be called to an aging congregation, and your job may be to shepherd them faithfully to the grave.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't do evangelism. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying the church may not ever really grow. You may be called to shepherd these people in the last years of their life. And if that's what God's called you to do, are you willing to do it?
Amen.
You need to be realistic about these sort of things. All right, getting started. So getting started in a pasture. First of all, be patient. Be patient. One of the biggest problems that we have as younger preachers, and I put myself in that category, as young preachers, one of the biggest problems that we have is that we overestimate what can be accomplished in a year, and then we give up in frustration when it doesn't happen. But we underestimate what might be able to be accomplished in 5 to 10 years of faithful, persistent ministry.
Right.
You've got to be patient. All right. Be long-term in your thinking. Don't even be realistic with yourself. You're not going to get up and preach the definitive message of all times on that topic, and then the church is going to immediately align to what you just preached. It don't work that way.
Right.
Be patient. Be long-term in your thinking. Realize that you need to regularly and consistently bring your people into contact with God's Word. Now, we've been talking about that a lot, doing exposition. We want to get the meaning of God's Word open to the people. The Spirit through the Word is what changes people. It's not your cleverness. It's not your alliterated outlines. It's not your, you know, just unbeatable arguments. It's the Spirit through the Word of God that changes people. Growth is usually slow, and you have to be prepared for that. And be patient, as the Bible says, like a farmer. You don't have instant gratification as a farmer. You have to be patient. Wait for that harvest. So understand also, as a young pastor going in, I realize that people ought to respect the office of a pastor. It's worthy of respect, and they ought to respect it. However, the respect you think you're getting when you first start, that's what's called the honeymoon period. All right, so be prepared for that. But realize that it takes time to develop relationships and trust with people. It just takes time. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to work on that. My advice would be, do not change anything right away if you can at all help it. Now, there may be some things that can't be helped, has to be changed. But if you can at all help it, don't change anything right away. Give it some time. Preach. Let the people get to know you. Build that trust and relationship with them. If people know and understand that you love and care for them, mm-hmm. that you are ministering out for them because you love the Lord, your desire to serve Him and to serve them, then that's going to be able to go a long way. But it takes some time to build that relationship with the church. Don't just come in and start changing everything to be the way that you want it to be. Just be patient. And on this, I also will just give you some advice. Don't worry about what the brethren think about your church. You have to answer to Jesus Christ. That's who you have to answer to. And you have to serve these people that are in front of you week in and week out. So care about them. Right? So don't just be patient. When you go into a church, don't dwell in the past, whether positively or negatively. Be thankful. Be thankful for a church's history. I'm sure that there are blessings and there are good things there, and be thankful for that. Don't despise that, but don't dwell there. You don't want the church to dwell there. Be thankful. Don't let them rest on that. Our work is before us. And churches need to realize that. Our work is before us. We are to be faithful until He comes. Not be faithful the last 50 years. Thank God if a church has been faithful the last 50 years. But we have to be faithful now and until He comes. So as a church, our work is primarily before us. So, don't let them dwell in the past and move on. Alright, you want to come, brother?
Alright, we have any comments or questions?
I have a couple. You answered most things. I really appreciate it, Jeff, too. I'll tell you, I wish I'd known all this stuff. One thing I struggle with, even after being in ministry for a long time, was in between churches, wasn't pastoring. And maybe I'm just asking this question more for the sake of those here that might be thinking about this. Should we look for a church or only wait for them to call us? Should we make ourselves known? You know, I think I went back and forth on that. It may sound like an odd question to some, but it's something I struggled with for a while. And so we might have some differing ideas on that, but I think we should at least mention it.
I don't know how far are you talking about as far as you know, looking for a church, you know, calling up a church, you know, hey, I hear you don't have a pastor and I want to come pastor, or I mean, what sort of thing are you thinking
about? Just as far as making yourself available, if you know a church doesn't have a pastor, you know, and you know if the Lord's burdened you to pastor somewhere and you're mm-hmm. interested, you know, just kind of putting feelers out there, you know, letting them know that you're available. Or interested, or
sure, and one thing that you certainly can do is you can talk with some other preachers, and you can just let them know. You know, I believe the Lord is burdening me to pastor a church, and I'm not currently talking with a church or anything, and you know, would you pray with me, first of all, but you know, pray with me about this, and then they will also help to, you know, get your name out. So certainly I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Just as long as it's not a church that has it from the classroom. I hate that I have to say that, but I have to say that.
We'll have a breakout session on that in a little while.
This is related, but I'm thinking about pastors already pastoring, mm-hmm. but yet seem to always be looking for another place to go. And I know we're talking about how to begin a pastor, but at the same time, that's not the right way to begin a pastor in my mind. You know, I understand God leads us from one place to another. He does that, but some have the mindset that they're always open, you know, to any church that may call on them, even though they're already pastoring. No matter where,
okay.
Or whatever, you know.
That's an excellent point. I said something about having a long-term view. All right. Now, of course, you know, God's sovereign. He can do, he does as he wills. We don't direct him. He directs us. So this may or may not happen. But I truly believe that you ought to begin a pastorate as this is where I'm going to be the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That may not be the case. But you should look at it that way. Yeah. I feel like you should pastor that way. Just a moment of honesty. If you're pastoring a church and you're always looking to go somewhere else, go ahead and resign.
Yeah.
And then pray about where the Lord would have you to go.
I agree.
I mean, I just think that'd be the best thing for you and for the church.
When you're talking about writing your own doctrinal stance,
mm-hmm.
how much should you include or not include, I guess? You're right, people get into all kinds of weird stuff. People like to fight about whatever, you know, there's all that. So do you just everything, or is there, you know, it seems like there's some discretion in what you put forward there.
Well, I really think my opinion would be to just focus on major doctrinal points in your statement. And again, I think you want it to be a brief statement and be clear. You know, you want it to be clear, and then if there are any particular issues or areas, I think it's better to discuss that face to face. You know, and then so I wouldn't think you would want to try to write, I mean, every single thing you believe about every single thing. I mean, who could do that anyway? But so I would just, you take major doctrinal points, and you can look at some of the confessions, you know, it's like New Hampshire Confession, you know, go through there and get some idea, just some major doctrinal points and you know, write a brief statement that way. I think it's a good way to go about it.
I got two questions. One, I think everybody would probably agree you don't take a church for the salary.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, especially if you have a young family, that's something that you've got to consider how you're going to care for your family.
Right.
So what's the balance there between what to expect in a salary and how to handle that with a church and how to provide for your family? And ought to just trust the Lord that, you know, if he's leading you there, then he's going to take care of it.
Well, you know, a man that doesn't care for his own family is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. And I believe the pastors have to understand that that's your responsibility, is to take, you know, take care of your family. I'm not saying living in luxury, but I'm saying taking care of your family, that they're adequately provided for. So to me, that's something you need to know. And if the church situation that you're looking at is such that you can't reasonably sustain your family, then I would take that as a pretty good indication you probably shouldn't go there. You know, that you're not going to be a good fit for you. So I don't, obviously I can't say where that line is going to be for everybody, but as a pastor, you do have to understand that if you know your family is going unprovided for, that's not the church's fault. It may, I mean, church may be at fault if they're not supporting the pastor the way they ought to, and they have the ability to, and they're not, then they certainly are at fault. But still yet, that's not the church's fault if your family's being unprovided for. It's your responsibility. So you do have to consider that. Now, some churches, you know, again, size, situation, what have you, they may just not have the resources to be able to support your family. Right? And that's just something you need to know, and you're going to have to think about. And again, I would advise that's probably not the best fit. So, Tom?
I think this is just a comment about this subject. If you feel like the Lord's directing you to pastor a particular church and they feel the same, and you know, you can just read it, you can see it, that they're not going to be able to support you full time, you need to settle it in your heart that you're going to have to do some bivocational work in order to provide for your family. Because I don't think there's anything noble about going to a church and letting your family starve. I really believe that you need to make the church aware that you love your family and you want them to be provided for just like anybody else in the church. And they have to understand if it's necessary for you to be bivocational, you know, to work part-time or whatever it is. I think that needs to be understood right up front. And, you know, in my experiences, there are some churches that are well off enough where they can support man full time. But a lot of them are small and struggling, and you've got to learn. And I really have a heart for bivocational pastor because it's twice the work. I've done it off and on my entire ministry, and I just think you need to be prepared for that, and they need to be prepared. If you've got to provide for your family, they've got to understand.
That definitely is part of the conversation that needs to take place.
Hold on just